Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Next week, we're going to start a series of messages called Life At. And I'm really looking forward to that series of messages. If you've got a tablet or an iPod or an iPhone or anything that starts with I, a phone that's from the Android world, you know what I'm talking about when we say applications, life apps. And we're going to be talking about different life applications that we can make with God's Word directly into our life over the course of that series. And so I really think you'll find some good encouragement from it. And so I just want to invite you back for sure next week as we get that sermon series started off. But today we're going to bring to a close our conversation on vital signs. Kind of thought that we did this last week, and I just couldn't get today's message out of my heart. And I felt like we needed to prolong vital signs one more time. We've been talking about taking our spiritual pulse, so to speak. What are our vital signs, as a spiritual being, a person who's following Christ in faith? And so we started off by looking at God's Word. How are we doing in reading God's Word? Last week we talked about compassion. How are we doing in living lives of compassion? And today I just feel led that we need to speak about what it means and kind of the importance of gathering together. What it means for us as people of faith to gather together into God's presence and as a church. But I want to be pretty upfront and honest with you. Out of all the topics that I've preached on over the last 3 years, this has felt like the most tricky to kind of walk around. I think I'd rather talk about giving and offering and how much you should give to the church than I talk about how frequently you should be here. And that's why I said what I said at the very, very beginning. I want you to not listen to my words. And I'm really not here to convince you to change anything of your current habit of attendance. What I want you to do is listen to God's Word and what it says and to be maybe challenged by what being a part of a church fellowship can be. Okay? So I just want you to know that I come across here, I don't want to feel like anyone's getting beat over the head by anything that we're going to say today. John Webb is a person who works for InterVarsity. I don't know if you've ever heard of that organization or ministry. They're a fantastic college campus-based ministry working with a lot of state schools. John Webb speaks of the need to be a part of a regular worship service, and I found it interesting because InterVarsity is a ministry that doesn't necessarily gather as a part of a local church congregation, and here's a leader of this ministry saying you need to be a part of it, and he says it for this reason. You have one responsibility toward the local community of faith, that's us, to be present and to enhance their worship experience. One level of responsibility that you may have to come and to help us, to enhance our worship ability. But you also have, he says, a greater responsibility to the larger community that surrounds you. Those not in the faith today, those who are on the outside looking in, they are watching and they're wondering if there's anything to this God who proclaims peace, love, freedom, and justice, repentance, and salvation. I'm not sure that I've ever really contemplated our responsibility to gather as a church to be anything other than outside of our walls, but that there is a community out there. You have neighbors and friends and co-workers, family members, in fact, that are watching. And John speaks to that in his communication here. You have the responsibility to one another to be here, but you also have a greater responsibility to those who aren't gathered here. Find that very intriguing today. The writer of Hebrews, which is where we're going to spend our time today, says it very clearly in chapter 10. Book of Hebrews, chapter 10. I want to begin reading, I believe, in verse 20. Actually, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. These are powerful words for us. When we hear about what Word of God says in terms of gathering here together. I had a feeling this was for me. Anyone else hear the frog in my throat? Excuse me. Thank you. Purpose of gathering together. The writer of Hebrews gives us five things to consider. Five things I want us to think about today. Number one, gathering together gives us the opportunity to draw near to God. This is quite simple. To draw near to God. He says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. This is important for us to understand. And I, you know, when I look back on my own life, I think that some of the most amazing moments of worshiping God, the most profound experiences of His Spirit, have come when I've gathered with other people. Oh, there have been those moments alone. There have been those moments by a lake shore where I've just sat there and felt the presence of God, without a doubt. But some of the most profound moments of my own calling have come as I've gathered with people. I think back to an altar in my home church in Bluffton, Indiana, where I sat there on the second row with my youth group, fighting through another message, and feeling the tug of God when the pastor opened up the altars. Feeling like I needed to go get some stuff right with Him. And when I did, I felt the thumping of friends behind me, putting their hands on me and supporting me. And I knew that I wasn't alone in my pursuit of God. I think back to a summer camp as a senior high student. Too afraid to do anything. I'd sit in the back row and observe because being up in front of people freaked me out. I wish you could have known me as a high schooler. To do this would have absolutely sent me over the edge. And so I sat on the back row watching these kids and experiencing the Spirit of God and knowing in my heart there was something special taking place. Saying yes to Jesus. Gathering in a college dorm room with a group of friends who decided that we would fast for a period of time because there were some just heavy decisions we needed to make. Gathering in that room in Hills Hall, having prayer moments, praying over each other. Those are special moments. I couldn't have done that alone. I needed the body of Christ. I needed that to come to help me draw near to Him. So when we gather together, it's not because we have some form of obligation to be here. It's because we want to draw nearer to God. And something supernatural happens when we do it in a place like this. Second thing that the Hebrew writer calls us to is that we should hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. That word unswervingly means steadfast, unwavering, unshakable. There's not too much in our world today that we would put those words with when it comes to our commitment. Steadfast, unwavering, unshakable. I mean, when you look at our culture, not our marriages, they don't even have that level of commitment anymore. Our jobs, our employers, they don't hold unswervingly to us anymore, right? Our relationships around us, we just feel like there's very few opportunities that we have that level of commitment to holding on to something. But I tell you what, we are called to find strength in being in a place like this and to find the hope that God offers as we stand together. As we stand together, we are reminded of God's faithfulness. We're reminded that we're not alone in this pursuit. And we find the strength to hold on to something with that level of commitment when we gather together. The Hebrew writer goes on and says, let us consider how we can spur one another on. I love this word, spur. Wish I was a cowboy. Would have been growing up. But the good thing is we have a cowboy on staff. When I said I was talking to Steve about this, he goes, I got spurs. I'm like, literally the guy has got spurs. You know where he keeps them? In his truck. And I don't want to know why. All right? He goes, they're in my truck. Anytime you want to use them, just grab them. I'm thinking, I really don't want to understand this. Spurs are a lost art. You know, these are something that you use to motivate an animal, right? Put them on your boot, and when you're riding your horse and you need to go a little faster, this is the accelerating pedal, right? Kick it in a little harder. We all need a little spurring. We all need a little good kick in the side once in a while. Don't we? Because by nature, we're all just kind of a little lazy at times. By nature, we like to graze in the pasture, so to speak. Humanly, we just kind of find it easy to find the path of least resistance. But what we need is a little kick in the side once in a while to be reminded that we were not made for that. We were made for galloping. We were made for running. We were made for doing better things than sitting in the pasture and grazing. I have a little bit to learn about that. We come together, and in our society, we resist the spurring. We say the church just makes me feel bad because it reminds me of the things I'm not doing. It reminds me of what I'm not. Well, you know what? Sometimes that's just a nice little gentle kick in the side to say that's what we're supposed to be. So the writer of Hebrews reminds us that not only do we come here to draw near to God, not only do we hold unswervingly to this hope that God gives us, that we need to consider ways that we can gently, lovingly, not to harm, not to destruct. You kick an animal on the side because that's how you let them know that they need to get moving again. With love. And that might seem strange, but that's how it works. That's how they're designed. And that's how we're designed too. Sometimes, friends, we need a little kick in the side. When you get that, when you come, when you share life together, when you gather in a place like this, the fourth thing the writer speaks of is that we should not give up meeting together. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. This phrase means desertion, complete abandonment. There was a movement even back at the church's very beginning that people were finding that they didn't need to worship together, that they didn't need to be there. Can I tell you, I've looked through the scriptures, I've done some searching online, I cannot find any time that the Bible says you don't need to show up. It's just not here. Frequently the word together will show up. Frequently, God calls His whole nation of people together, and they'll bring every man, every woman, every child into the large assembly. I see that. But I don't see where God says, yeah, just come and stand. See, the scripture is calling us to gather. That we can't get in the habit of letting that slide because there's too many things on the line. There's too many important things about gathering together. It's how He's wired us, and we should not ignore it. The fifth thing that the writer speaks of is that we should encourage one another. To inspire, to boost, to enlighten one another. Find great encouragement when we gather together on Sunday. I know it's my job, but I love it when this place is full. I love it when we gather together. And if it were just me and the rest of the staff on a Sunday morning, it'd be a little difficult. You know, the people who have to be here. So glad that you choose to be here. It encourages me. And I hope that by the ministries that we provide and the things that we do, which we're trying to get better at, that you will find encouragement too. You know, I heard an illustration. There was a story once of a man who came home from church and he said to his wife, that's it. I'm not going back. Never. And she responded, oh yes, you are. He was like, no, I'm not. And I'll give you three reasons why I'm not going back to that church. Number one, no one ever speaks to me. Number two, I think everybody in that room hates me. And number three, I have absolutely no friends at church. And she says, well, now I'm going to give you three reasons why you're going back. She said, first of all, you promised me when we got married that you would always attend church. Don't you love it when they throw that one at you? Number two, you need to set an example for the children. And number three, you're the pastor. I'd hope most of you hadn't heard that one. Last Sunday was a Sunday that I identified with that story. I walked in and didn't want to be here. I was so glad that I was. I still found encouragement in being here. I had to fight myself to get here. But I was so glad. And I hope that you can find that level of encouragement too. It takes some effort. It takes some work on your part to decide that you want to connect with somebody and to meet somebody and maybe share a story, a name. It's good to meet you. You kind of get what you ask for when you come to a church like ours. If you don't want much, you won't get much. You can slide in and slide out. But if you're hungry, and if you're thirsty, and if you're needing encouragement, I believe you can drink here. I believe you can feast here. And I believe you can find it. There's a pollster. His name is George Barna. And in the Christian world, he's a stud of asking the right questions. He's done a little research on what the average American does in terms of worshiping and how often and all those kinds of things. He notices that there's a strong relationship between age and those who attend church. That older Americans especially tend to worship at churches more frequently. And there's probably some reasons for that. There's also a strong gender disconnect where women of all ages are more likely to attend than men. There are region-specific effects as well, because they notice that the people in southern states, they're more likely to attend than people in the Northeast, like New England or the West Coast. They've noticed that race has a certain effect on attendance as well, with African Americans more likely to attend church than white Caucasian Americans. There's also an effect with specific denominations, that members of evangelical, non-Catholic Christian denominations are more likely to attend than those who identify with traditional Protestant denominations. There was a question that was asked 4 years ago, so it's a little bit of old data, but the question was, how often do you attend church or synagogue? So this is really an open-ended religious kind of question. 35% of the respondents, 35% said once a week. The fellow said once a week. 10% said almost once a week. You know, about every other. 10% more said that they attend about once a month. Seldom, that response, 28%. And never, 16%. Kind of losing ground here. When you combine those numbers, we recognize that there's a large percentage, 44%, who would say seldom to never do they attend worship. And even those who do, maybe only the top 45% with any kind of regularity. What was the most important reason or factor for their attendance was the next question. Spiritual growth and guidance, 23%. It's my faith. In other words, I have to. That was 15%. To worship God, also 15%. It's interesting to me the things that motivate us to attend church. I've actually told the staff, I've debated putting together a survey to ask what motivates you. What factors go into your decision to make this a Sunday that you gather at a place in the church? Kind of a very curiosity. I was talking to a member of our church this week, and the topic came up really fast. They were talking about the fact that when they were looking for a church, she had a certain list of things that she was looking for in a church, and her husband had a certain list of things that he was looking for. Not even close to each other. But they were very happy to find that what they needed could be found at a place like ours. We're all kind of looking for something. We're searching for a place of worship. Some of us are needing fulfillment. Some of us are needing to kind of shed some stuff off. I don't know. Some of us really focus on the music. Some of us really focus on the preaching. Some of us really focus on the children. We all have to. of where you are at all times. I asked Don, I said, I got a strange question, Don. Can you help me look back on 52 weeks of our church? What I'm hunting for is to see what our number is. What's our number? How frequently, you know, do you come? He provided it so fast, I was terrified. I got a chart of every time you've been here. Yeah. Oh, what's in the belt? Right there? No. Tell you what we did, we looked at that and I was kind of struck. When I began to look at those numbers and say, well, these folks have been, you know, not attending for a full year, and they wouldn't have the same amount of opportunity. I began to kind of take this into our policy and things like that, because I didn't want our numbers to be skewed by people. As we kind of wrestled that down, we found that our congregation, on average, in any given person here today, your typical amount of times you would attend is less than half. Barely. The good news is that's up from the 35% of the rest of the world, right? You're not doing all bad. I'm not saying this as an indictment. I was curious. It kind of holds true because when I said that we have about 500 people that would call this their church home, we've been averaging for this year about 248 of us on a Sunday morning. 248. Now, that's actually pretty good because we were averaging about 223 last year at this time. So we're averaging about 25 more friends a weekend, and that's wonderful. We've had, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, we've had a good year. I think God has been in our midst. I think God has begun to draw some friends to us again, and I think God's been in the house. I'm very encouraged. But it just leaves me to ask a question. What would happen to the momentum and the enthusiasm of this place if we could take that number from 46 to maybe 60? What if we could take that average amount of times that we're worshiping together from that 46 number to maybe even 70% of the time? 3 out of 4 Sundays. What would it do to the encouragement and to the spontaneous just kind of excitement that would be in this place if just we were here more frequently? Let's use that Hebrews 10 filter. How much more would we be able to draw closer to God with more of our friends here? How much stronger would our grip on hope be? How effective would our ability to move in the right direction and to sense His leading? How would our worship and our experience come alive? How encouraged would we feel coming to a place like that? I know what you're thinking, and I've been thinking it too. That's just not reasonable. Don't you understand our culture, Terry? No one attends church on that kind of regularity, and I get it. And I don't want this to be about that, but you know what? I just want to be a little stubborn for a moment. My notes say, like a boulder in the middle of a rushing river. I want to stand against the mentality today that says that church attendance is optional. I just want to be a little obstinate for just a moment. Our kids need it. You need it. There are good reasons to be here. And I know we're far from perfect. And I know I talk too long. And I know we don't always play your favorite song. And sometimes it's just a touch loud. Never. And sometimes it's never loud enough. Right? I know this. But friends, there are too many good things that come out of being here. There are too many good reasons to want to gather together with people who want to encourage you and spur you on. Consider this. What if we could just no longer accept the pressures of the world and the reasons not to be here? What if we would stand against that? What if we would no longer, you know, give in to the silly and often petty divisions that have separated us and have broken some of our relationships apart? What if we could embrace one another, our less than perfect selves, and spur one another on the way the Scriptures call us to do it, and to encourage each other to fight the good fight? Gathering together for weekly worship has got great benefits, and it's meant for your good. by you being here, you can use your strength the way God has made you, and it will benefit others, and you will also benefit from others' strengths as well. We can support one another. We can feel the love of each other. We don't have to try to do faith on our own, but we can be built up and encouraged. It's really just not really, though, about what you get from being here as much as what you have to offer. Because if you're not here, I don't get to receive what you bring. To me, it's kind of a question of desire versus obligation. I do not want to force you into a feeling of obligation and guilt at all. But I want there to be something deep within you through the Spirit of God. A desire to want to draw closer to Him. A desire to want to be among His people. A desire that wants the good things of the faith. That's what I'm hopeful for today. The stats are not good. Barna also has acknowledged that over the past 20 years, weekly church attendance has declined by 9 percentage points for everyone. Sunday school attendance, which most traditional churches would have a Sunday school hour before or after their main worship time, has declined also by that same number, 9%. Weekly Bible reading has dropped 5%. Volunteering at a church has dropped 8%. We're going backwards. And I want to say two things. Shame on us. And shame on the church for allowing it to happen. I think there's a part of us as a church body that we just says, you know, it's just, no one's commitment's the same anymore. It is what it is. No. No, it's not what it is. So I'm dealing with this topic today, not because I want to, and not because I'm looking for some medal of honor, because I love you too much to want to be comfortable with you coming just when you can fit it in. I hope you can hear my heart in everything I'm saying. I care for you too much to allow you to not hear my heart that I want you here. And I think that I'm kind of, just for a brief moment, speaking the words of Christ to you to say, and I want you to be here too. Not because I want your money. I don't want your money. I want you. I want the gifts and the passions and the abilities that God has given you to make this a special place. I need you to help me draw nearer to God. I need you to help me spur me on. I need you to encourage me. And I hope you need me too. I really do. Can we hear the words of Hebrews 10? The Word of God. One last time. Maybe you need to close your eyes. Maybe you want to read the words. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for He who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting with each other, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. As we close today, I want you to consider your number. You've seen the commercials on television for ING Investments. Everyone's got a number, an investment number, an investment goal. What's your number? What's your number for the amount of times you want to be in the assembly of God's people this year? Don Cordy can tell you what your number was, but only you can tell me what you want your number to be. And I think you won't get to that goal unless you set it out as a priority. The people of ING will tell you, yeah, you might need $1 million before you retire, but you'll never get there unless you start saving a buck. So my question to you, my challenge to me, the challenge to all of us here today is, what's your number? Do you see the value today in gathering together? Do you see the value of what you can gain by being here? I hope that's what's on your heart today, and not a message to guilt you to be here more frequently, because that was not my intention. And I apologize sincerely if that's how it's come across to you. We're going to sing a song. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand to sing it, because I think you sing better that way. I'm going to invite you to make a commitment. This isn't a commitment to sell the cabin. This isn't a commitment to leave those special things that are good. And I didn't touch on that, and I apologize. That's a great place to be and to worship God. It really is. I want you to think about how you want to rank gathering together as you move forward in this year. Father, use these words today to spur us all on to faith and good deeds. I pray that you use these words to challenge us to be here, to share life with one another, to worship in the assembly, to find encouragement by gathering, by drawing closer to you. Be our consuming fire. Be our passion and our hope. Be what we need for this day. And I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.